Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show where we talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology, but we do so in an interesting and topical way without a whole lot of geek speak or acronyms. We just want to talk about tech that's important to you. And we do want to start by thanking Cardinal Capital for sponsoring our show. If you're a business owner and or a CEO, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you are facing challenges such as a need to consolidate debt, you're in growth mode, want to buy new equipment, or just level out your cash flow, whatever your needs or challenges, give Cardinal Capital a call because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important for banks, and they're good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they help to maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solutions for your situation, and here's the good part. They're easy and fun to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website, cardinalcap.net, or call them 225-308-3700 or email info@cardinalcap.net. So, Mr. Davis, we ready for some tech gumbo?
As always, hot and fresh.
So we're going to start off today talking about cryptocurrencies, which we certainly like to do on this show. But this time, the rules and regulations conversations coming back around because the accountants and lawmakers are really making the push this time.
Right. So the group of people whose job it is to keep track of all of the money and to report all of the money, they're saying, hey, look, we don't know what to do here. We don't know how to handle this. This is a new class of thing, and we're not sure exactly what needs to happen, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. And so they are really pushing to get some structure in place so that it can start to become a more, you know, concrete part of the business community.
You're a business owner and you've taken in some cryptocurrency. How are you reporting it? How is it taxable? How are you going to pay taxes on it? You know, And all of these things, which, you know, accountants and are sitting there scratching their heads saying, well, I think we can do it this way. Well, maybe we do it that way. And they're looking to lawmakers and saying, hey, give us some guidance. Help us here.
Yeah. So the specific group is the Financial Accounting Standards Board. So the FASB declined to comment last year because they said there wasn't enough investment from companies yet, but there have been renewed calls, and it's entirely possible that this nonprofit organization comes out and says, hey, look, here's what our thoughts are. And if the Financial Accounting Standards Board comes out and lays out their thoughts, you can definitely be willing to bet that a lot of lawmakers are going to take this into consideration and use that to develop rules and use that to develop the laws that will help govern this new technology.
The four big accounting firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers, KPMG, Deloitte, and then also Ernst & Young, they are just not making any kind of statements yet. They're waiting to see how this plays out because if they come out, I mean, these are the big four accounting firms. If they come out and they say, okay, we think you can do this, that affects a whole lot of people, way too many people for them to jump that far out on a limb. And then Congress says, no, we can't do that. We decided to go this way. So I understand why these big accounting firms are very concerned about what's going on because they don't know what to tell their clients. And oh, by the way, their clients are the biggest companies in the world.
Or if you are an investment firm and you're dealing with individual consumers, you know, your job is to provide a safe return on your investment for those people. And if there's just too much volatility, too much uncertainty, you're not going to tell that person, hey, I think this is a good investment for your money. You're going to say, you know, if you want to go over there, you can put your money over there, but I don't think it's a good idea. And so these sort of rules would provide more structure, would provide more rules in place. The flip side to all of this, though, is that the people who are currently using Bitcoin kind of like the fact that it is unregulated. And so what do the people who are using it for the fact that it doesn't have all these rules and guidance and restrictions around it, what do they do over the next couple of years as it becomes a more stable, a more staple part of our institutions?
Going to be fascinating to watch. Another interesting story with the, of course, Bitcoin happened down in Malaysia. Police found some people who they were caught stealing electricity as they were mining for Bitcoins.
Yeah, they stole a large amount of electricity, too. It wasn't just that they were stealing electricity. It was they stole over $2 million worth of electricity alone. And then they used that money to run the Bitcoin mining systems. They had over 1,000 Bitcoin mining rigs that they used to, you know, mine for Bitcoins. That has to be an incredible amount of Bitcoin that you generated. $2 million worth of electricity over 1,000 machines. That's an incredible investment.
They're not saying how long this operation was going on, but if they estimated $2 million worth of electricity, that had to have been some length of time. The average household, let's say if your electric bill at the house of family of four is $200 a month, that's 800 years worth of electricity to get to $2 million. That's how much power was being used to run these almost 1,100 computers that were mining for these Bitcoins. And so the people who were caught, yeah, they got a slap on the wrist. They're going to do maybe 8 months in jail and might have to pay a fine up to $1,900. Oh, by the way, in the meantime, they've probably got millions or hundreds of million dollars of Bitcoin waiting for them to get out.
Right. To go back a little bit to your earlier point about, you know, one household, 800 years worth of electricity of one household, that really kind of ties into a point which we talked about a few months ago, that Bitcoin and blockchain face the very real problem of energy consumption, that this is a large energy draw, which has implications about carbon footprint. You know, the amounts of energy that it takes to power all this and where does that energy come from? These are very serious concerns because, you know, a couple guys, you know, this wasn't a large scale operation, relatively speaking. It's very easy to have Bitcoin operations which are much larger and exist all over the world. So we really have to think about how much power are we dumping into Bitcoin here.
This was not a good thing. I mean, to have 1,100 PCs use $2 million worth of electricity to go after Bitcoin, by mining for Bitcoin, that means they were making Bitcoins. So Bitcoin right now is still trading for $30,000 to $35,000 per coin. And you don't just, you know, it doesn't not just happen overnight that you can generate a whole new coin. It takes a little bit of time to mine for a single Bitcoin. But
yeah, you have to think it was worth it for them. And as a show of force, the local police department literally took all, you know, 1,069 rigs, laid them out in a parking lot and ran a steamroller over them and posted the video to say, look, this is how serious we are. We are flattening you. We are crushing you. Get out. We do not want you anymore.
And that part is kind of disappointing when you consider just last week we were talking about the global chip shortage. You just crushed 1,100 PCs that could have been used for good out there. So that part's kind of disappointing.
All right.
Moving along. Microsoft has released Windows 365. Basically, it's a desktop as a service.
This one, if you told me this is what Windows 11 is, I'd have been really excited because this seems like a big deal. The fact that you'll be able to run your whole desktop from the cloud and that the only thing you need is a machine with internet access and everything else happens on Windows servers, this is the future right here.
So imagine if you have a Mac, if you have a Google Chromebook, if you have an Android phone, an iOS phone, if you have a PC, if you have a Linux device, any kind of computer that can connect to the internet, you can be running your Windows desktop on that device.
That really is the next generation, because not only can you run one PC, if you were to have 10 PCs and you wanted them networked together, now all of a sudden that becomes trivially easy. And that, now you're starting to have businesses say, well, that's kind of interesting. And that really, or schools say that, or, you know, this is wherever, if you'd have told me this was Windows 11, I'd have been like, man, that was worth it. So this is going to be super interesting to track how useful it is, how well does it work. This is a big deal.
And by no means is this free either. This is, you know, anywhere from $30 to $50 per month per Windows 365 cloud PC. So if you don't mind, if you can afford that $50 a month or 30 bucks a month, whatever it is, you're already paying, let's say, 20 bucks a month for your Office 365. For an additional $10, $15, $20 a month.
Right. Or even in the simpler case of you have a laptop and, you know, you drop it or it gets stolen or something like that. That's fine. There was nothing on that actual machine anyway. Now, that should be the case already. You should already be backing up all of your stuff to the cloud. But in the case that you don't, you know, Microsoft is just taking that to the next level here.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and we will stay on top of the Windows 365 desktop as a service. Big story broke this week about spyware was being used on smartphones of journalists, activists, and other people around the country. Some 50,000 phones were being tracked by a firm called the NSO Group. They were using the Project Pegasus software.
Right. So it wasn't just around the country, it was around the world. The Project Pegasus, or the NSO Group, is an Israeli technology cybersecurity firm, and they have this software which will go out and will track people. And there were 15 different countries from around the world who were all supposedly on their list of clients. Now, the NSO Group has come out and strongly denied it. They say that the whole thing is made up, that the story is fake. But whenever you have, you know, a lot of different reporting outlets from all around the world all coming together to agree on this, you have the Washington Post, the Guardian, prominent German newspapers, prominent French newspapers. These are some of the most serious reporters on the planet all saying, hey, this is a really big deal. There was a lot of spying happening all over the place, and not spying on the bad guys, spying on journalists and activists. This is some really, you know, not great stuff here.
No, it's not. And as this continues to unfold, I think this is going to play out over the next several weeks and or months as it really continues to unravel. Another thing that's unraveling right now is Facebook and their advertisers.
Oh, yeah. This is a story which we first touched on a few weeks ago with iOS 14 allowing users to have the freedom to decide if they want their data tracked or not. The users in iOS 14 have a notification that pops up and says, do you want to allow this app to track your data? and you get to say no, and that app gets to collect zero data from you. And Facebook's advertisers are very not happy here.
So worldwide, roughly 75% of the iPhone users that have downloaded the iOS update of 14.5 have said, no, I don't want Facebook to track my data or track my usage. And that has translated into approximately 7% of their revenue. And it could be as much as 13% of their revenue, of Facebook's revenue, 13% of Facebook's fiscal year.
To put that in perspective, call it 10% for a nice round number. That's $8 billion in revenue that would evaporate because iOS users now have the ability to prevent Facebook from tracking them. $8 billion that Facebook simply does not get anymore.
A B billion.
Yeah, that is an incredible shift in the industry. And then you have to start to say, okay, what happens if other people implement this, safety feature? Microsoft doesn't do a whole lot of data collection. You know, it really wouldn't harm them a whole lot if they built in some feature that would allow users to control whether or not they were tracked. Sure, that's not where Microsoft's money comes from. Yeah, let's have Windows users be able to monitor who can track them and who cannot track them anymore. What kind of change would we see overnight?
What would happen if Google said, hey, in the next Android update, we're going to allow users to opt out of third-party software tracking? You know, you're not going to be able to opt out of Google tracking you on an Android phone. That's not going to happen. But if we're going to say Twitter can't track you and Facebook, if you want to opt out of Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and all these other from tracking you, oh my God, the revenue that these companies are going to lose is just staggering.
Oh yeah, that would be a tectonic shift, a truly seismic shift. You know, you have these $100 billion industries that are all of a sudden feeling nervous in a way that they never thought they would. Because you have to think, we talked about this a few months back, that Google was building a new form of advertising model which didn't rely on tracking the individual. It relied on being able to make generalizations about the individual. And so is Google, did they see this coming and say, hey, look, you know, we're going to build this model. We're going to test it so that it works. And then once we're sure that we no longer need to track, before anybody else is ready for all this, we flip the switch and everybody else just immediately suffocates and chokes out because there's nothing going to them anymore.
Now, we do need to make sure that everyone understands this is about tracking. This is not about removing ads. So you're still going to see ads on your phone. You're still going to see ads on your computer for Facebook. But that's not where the real money is for the social media platforms. The money for these social media platforms is to say, hey, look, advertiser, I have somebody who is interested in what you do and what your products are. I can specifically put you in front of them as opposed to just a general broadcast that may or may not be interesting to me. You know, as a guy in my late 50s, I'm not interested in feminine hygiene products. That advertiser is totally wasting money if they're advertising that to me. But if I say I don't want to be tracked, then all of a sudden I could start seeing ads like that instead of, Haggai's interested in pickup trucks. Let's show them some pickup truck ads or something like that.
Right. They would have to rely on a format which is much closer to how television does it. That, you know, you still know who ESPN's target demographic is, but you know, there's only so specific you can get when you put an ad on the broadcast airwave.
And we do want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 60 plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure and support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support to our clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as fastest growing companies in the Inc. 500 5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you want to go back and hear previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every platform, including Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, and more. When you're there, be sure you subscribe so you get notifications every time we post a new episode. If you have a question, text us at 225-255-0431, and if we use your question, you will get a Tech Gumbo mug. Send us your questions at that phone number, 225-255-0431, or on Twitter and Facebook at Tech Gumbo Show. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.